Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. I'm so glad you're with me today as we discuss in this edition of the Intelligence Examiner the hidden messages in the New Catholic Catechism. This is, in fact, an exposé of the Vatican's agenda for a one-world order. Are there indeed hidden messages in the New Catechism of the Catholic Church? Well, first, my friends, you must understand that for over 50 years, the Roman Catholic Church has used the Old Baltimore Catechism. But periodically, the Catholic Church will update, revise, add to, and delete from its catechisms. Now, the Baltimore Catechism has lasted almost six decades, but now Pope John Paul II and his doctrinal hound dog, Cardinal Ratzinger, have given the world a stunningly different and new catechism. Now, perhaps it's illustrative of the Catholic Church and how it operates that this document, and I have a copy, it's in book form, is almost 800 pages in length. Now, it seems that Jesus gave very few commandments in a sense. He did say that none of the law was abolished, of course, but God promised to write the law in our hearts. Not only that, but Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is to love God, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And these are very brief, you might say, catechisms, if you want to use that term, found in the Bible. And in the Ten Commandments themselves, you will find almost the entire structure of the law in the Bible. But nevertheless, the Catholic Church has deemed it necessary to put forth a legal document, the canon of the Catholic Church, that is 800 pages. Now, my friends, I have found a number of doctrinal statements by various Protestant denominations and churches, and some of them go up to 90 or 150 pages, but I have never come upon one that's 800 pages long. Well, that's what the Pope has done with this new catechism of the Catholic Church. And by the way, it's a bestseller. It's distributed in America under the auspices of the Vatican Editorial Library. And it's even on the bestsellers list in some Christian bestseller list. Well, in addition to this catechism, the Pope himself has just published a book. He received millions of dollars from a New York publishing house in royalties for this book. Actually, I say royalties, advance on royalties. The name of the book is Crossing the Threshold of Hope. And in reading the catechism of the Catholic Church, as I have done, and studying it very closely, and then moving over to this book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, which on the cover reads by His Holiness John Paul II, I find that the concepts, the beliefs, the doctrines are the same. In other words, Pope John Paul II simply expresses, it's almost a sort of a shorthand or a summarized version of his catechism. And yet it does contain a few more seeds of information and discoveries, and I hope in this short time we have together, friends, that I'll be able to read to you some of the more pertinent sections out of the Pope's new book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope. The major features of this catechism that I would like to talk to you about today involve the fact that it is very clear, and I believe these are found in the catechism, and yet they're worded in such a way that it's almost diabolical, absolutely diabolical. But I want to cover with you seven major areas. Number one is the fact that the catechism basically approves and calls for and even sanctions the unity of all religions under the Holy See, the Vatican. When I say all religions, I mean all of the animist religions, voodoo, Santeria, the African tribal religion, shamanism, Native American Indian religion, all of the pagan religions are found to be acceptable to the Catholic Church. As long as you do not reject the Catholic Church and you show some semblance of respect and adoration to the so-called Holy Father in Rome, you're part of the Catholic system now. And this is a great difference, it would appear, from past catechisms. And yet the Catholic Church has always accepted the voodoo worshippers and the Santeria and the false tribal religions and the idols of all of the religions, and simply put sort of a Kool-Aid covering of Christianity on top of them and said, okay, now you're baptized Catholic and you can go ahead and retain your tribal and pagan religious sacraments, practices, rituals, beliefs, and so forth. A second area that we need to cover is the redistribution of wealth. That's right. The Catholic Church in this catechism basically calls for the redistribution of wealth. So it's really a socialist document. Third is some very strange new statements on homosexuality, to the extent that, well, the gay, lesbians, and homosexuals really can't help themselves because physically it's programmed genetically into their system. So, you know, well, we'll talk about that. Number four, it is very clear that the Pope is leading us into belief, a belief system that a one world, a new world order is politically possible and desirable. Fifth, Mary is put virtually on not just an equal basis with Jesus Christ, but as a paramount or a premier foundation. Mary is the one to be worshipped, to be prayed to. She, in a sense, you can't say that Mary is made a part of the Holy Trinity. Then it would become a holy quadruplet. In fact, she sort of stands out and over the entire Trinity. She's the mother of God, says the Pope. Sixth, we will see really a horrible abomination in that the Catholic Church teaches that Scripture, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is always subservient to the tradition of the Church. And seventh, we'll talk about the very curious and weird new stance on the environment, to the effect that if you harm the environment, you are sinning. Well, let's talk about some of these things. I want you to know that very few Christian leaders out there are saying much about the catechism. They're keeping very quiet about it. Such people as Billy Graham, Chuck Colson, Jack Van Impe, and all of the others are really holding hands now with the Pope, and they would never criticize this document and never tell the truth about it, because if you tell the truth about it, you must expose the errors that are contained within it. But I'm going to do that no matter how much it harms this ministry according to the world standards. In other words, we may not sell as many books in the bookstores. We may be banned and we may be censored. Certainly, the ecumenical believers, and that's practically everybody now, from Pat Robertson to Paul and Jan Crouch. It goes on and on. Even Jimmy Swaggart now won't dare say one word about the Catholic Church. And those people will consider Tex Mars a mean-spirited, evil person. But that's always been the case from the time I began exposing the New Age movement and so-called heavy metal Christian rock music and Freemasonry, all of those things have caused us to separate from the compromisers. We're going to continue to separate, my friends, and I appreciate all the love and support that you've shown for this ministry. We don't whine and complain when those folks out there close the doors to this ministry. If radio stations want to take our message off of the air, fine, let them do it. If Christian bookstores want to take Tex Mars's books off of the shelves because I speak the truth, then so be it. I don't mind those things. I'm not going to whine or complain. No. You see, we're just going to keep moving right along, telling the truth. And I believe that there are, as I've said before, at least 7,000, maybe many more, who are not going to bow down to Baal. Well, I suspect by ordering this Intelligence Examiner on the hidden messages in the New Catholic Catechism, you're probably, my friend, one of those 7,000. And I'm delighted that you're with me. Well, maybe one of the 7,000 is a man named Jay Green. He publishes the Christian Literature World magazine. It's a pretty good magazine. He talks also about the new Roman Catholic Catechism. He said it doesn't give it an inch. One of the things that he mentions, and I have found too, is that on page 51 of the Catechism, it states very clearly that infants, babies, receive new life the moment they're baptized. Well, this certainly departs from what I believe, and I think you believe, my friends, that we must be of an accountable age and truly be born again, as John 3 tells us. Born again in the Spirit. And a baby simply cannot make that kind of a judgment. But we must turn from our sins. We must accept the fact that we are a depraved, sinful creature. And then Jesus Christ will enter our hearts and will become a new person, transformed into His image, and yet obedient to Him, because He is the great Master and Lord of all. But He does make us a new person in Christ. Well, obviously this cannot happen to infants, and this is a false doctrine of the Catholic Church. In fact, let me read to you. Quote, "The first profession of faith is made during baptism." That's page 51, paragraph 189. Friends, it can't be. The little infant, the little baby, cannot make a profession of faith. I mean, you as a parent, or parents, can take the baby to the Catholic Church to be baptized, but the baby is not making a decision for Christ. Oh, well, that's what the Catholic Church teaches. And, of course, as we're going to see, Mary becomes the cause of salvation. Being obedient, Mary became the cause of salvation for herself and for the whole human race. That's page 125. Well, Mary is not the cause of salvation, her obedience. No, Jesus Christ on the cross. There again, we see a false doctrine of the Catholic Church. Mary also eclipses, as I've said, almost outshines the Holy Spirit. She goes under such titles as advocate, helper, benefactress, mediatrix. It says, quote, "The Church's devotion to the Blessed Virgin is intrinsic to Catholic worship." That's from page 252. Well, that's just not true, my friends. And we're going to discuss that as well as we go on. Now, I want you to understand something before we even go further. That is that Mary, according to the Pope, and he has a saying, he calls it totus tu. That means I'm totally yours, Mary. When he became Pope, he let the world know that that was his saying, that was his motto, this Pope. Totally yours, Mary. He goes to Fatima each year and thanks Mary for saving him in 1981. When he was the target of an assassination, he believes that Mary is the one who kept him from being killed. And the Pope also believes that soon, possibly by the year 2000, there will be a sign in the heavens, a sign given by Mary, or maybe even of Mary. The Pope also believes that by the year 2000, the papacy will be exalted to the heights of glory here on earth. The kingdom of God will be on earth. He has begun a project called Lumen, or Light 2000. And they are buying time and arranging to be on all of the television networks throughout the globe at the dawn of the year 2000, so that the Pope can speak to the whole world, so that all eyes can see him at once. Now, of course, this is a perversion of Bible prophecy, wherein Christ says that when he returns, all of humanity will see him, all eyes at once. Well, with the miracle, you might say, of television today, and cable, and satellites, the Pope says that all the world will see him at once, by the year 2000. As far as this sign in the sky, I'm looking at an issue of Sky and Telescope magazine, Sky and Telescope, March 1984, pages 12 and 13. It talks about the Great Vatican Observatory. Yes, there is a Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope, or called VAT, V-A-T-T. It's in Arizona, University of Arizona's Mount Graham International Observatory. The Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope. Yes, the Vatican is spending millions of dollars for a telescope, an optical system to view the heavens. What on earth, or what should I say, what in the cosmos is that all about? Yes, the Pope does expect Mary to give a sign in the heavens. And that sign will herald that the Vicar of Christ, the Pope himself, is to finally take his rightful place on the throne of earth, the Holy Father for all of mankind. Well, this catechism is designed to lead the way toward this. Now, let us take a look at some of the things that I want you to see in this catechism that make it so very vitally important. First of all, let's look at the fact that the Pope is bringing all religions together as one under his authority. Now, on page 214 of the Catechism, it says the Church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. What is Catholic? It defines Catholic as universal. It says there is a sacred mystery of the Church's unity. And yet, on page 215, it says that the one Church has been marked by a great diversity. Unity and diversity. Well, this is the same saying of the New Age, my friends. Unity and diversity. In other words, as long as you'll give a certain amount of allegiance to the Pope, even if you don't become Catholic, you're considered Catholic and saved, according to the Pope. Only those people who would deny the Pope's authority, the Pope says, you are in real trouble. You're a heretic. You're a fundamentalist. But for all of those, such as Chuck Colson and Pat Robertson and Billy Graham, who say the Pope is our brother, he is a great Christian leader, a great religious leader for the whole world, even the Dalai Lama of Tibetan Buddhism who has said such things, then yes, all of those people are saved. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, it makes no difference to the Church of Rome. Just give the Catholic Church its due, and you too are on the way to salvation, the Catholic Church says. You can read about this in pages 214 to, about 222. It says on page 222, who belongs to the Catholic Church? All men are called to this Catholic unity of the people of God. All men. And yet, on that same page, it talks about the relationship of the Church with the Jewish people. It says, quote, when she delves into her own mystery, the Church, the people of God in the New Covenant, discovers her link with the Jewish people. The Jewish faith is already a response to God's revelation. It says, to the Jews belong the sonship, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and of their race according to the flesh is the Christ. But what if the church of Christ believes simply in Jesus, or believes in Jesus Christ, but the Jews reject Jesus? No problem. Because it says on in section 840, that's page 223, it says, God's people of the old covenant, that is the Jews, and the new people of God, supposedly the Christians, tend towards similar goals, expectation of the coming or return of the Messiah. One awaits the return of the Messiah who died and rose from the dead. The other awaits the coming of a Messiah whose features remain hidden till the end of time. Well, my friends, there is a big difference. The Catholic Church glosses that over and says they both believe in the same Messiah. Except Christians say he's already come, and the Jews believe their Messiah will come later, and they reject Jesus. The Catholic Church in their catechism says that's one and the same. Friends, it's not one and the same. You either believe in the Jesus who came and died on the cross, or you're headed straight for hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus said to the Pharisees of his day, the Jews, he said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He said, you're of your father, the devil. He said, if you believed in the Father, you'd believe in me. For I come from the Father. The Father and I are one. But that's not what the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches. It says that the purpose of the Catholic Church, or one of the objectives on page 224, is, quote, to reunite all his children scattered and led astray by sin. Well, my friends, you are one of those sinners. You've been led astray by Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation, I suppose, although I really believe you've been led astray, according to their theory. You've been led out of this Catholic system by the Holy Spirit. Now, can there be salvation outside the Catholic Church? The Catholic Church says no. And I'm going to quote from page 224. Outside the church, the Catholic Church, there is no salvation. Well, that's pretty explicit. But wait. Item 846 on page 224 says, how are we to understand this affirmation? It says, reformulated positively. Ah, the catechism suddenly is going to reformulate positively their previous belief that outside the church there is no salvation. And it says, and I go further here on page 224, that although the Catholic Church, basing itself on Scripture and tradition, is the one church, it says men cannot be held at fault who do not know this or have rejected it. It says, hence they could not be saved who, knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse either to enter it or to remain in it. But those who, though no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart, and moved by grace, try in their actions to do His will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, those too may achieve eternal salvation. Now, let me explain this to you, my friends. How about a Hindu who worships Krishna or the great destroyer goddess Kali? Yes. No fault of their own. They were raised that way. So, therefore, they too may achieve eternal salvation, according to page 224. Well, if you know the gospel, though, and you're a Protestant, you better return to the Catholic Church, is what it's really hinting. Although there is a way out here. It says, if you're ignorant and you still have a sincere heart, then you can be saved. Well, this is all quite interesting naturally. Now, how about the Muslims? Well, page 223, item 841. The church's relationship with the Muslims. And I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to quote so you'll understand. It says, the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place amongst whom are the Muslims. These profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day. Well, now, friends, Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne and judge. The Catholic Church is teaching, though, something different here. Obviously, they do not believe that Christ is fully and holy God and will sit in judgment. They say that the Muslims, together with us, quote unquote, adore the one merciful God. My friends, they have a God they call Allah, and they have a prophet they call Muhammad, and they reject Jesus Christ as God, or as the one mediator. But not according to the Catholic Church's new catechism. Oh, on item 842, it says, the Church's bond with non-Christian religions is in the first place the common origin and end of the human race. It says, all nations form but one community. This is so because all stem from the one stock which God created to people the entire earth. And also because all share a common destiny, namely God. Friends, all the people of earth do not share a common destiny, God. Some have a common destiny of hell and the devil because they rejected Christ. I think these bishops and cardinals and potentates and Pope John Paul II better read the book of Revelation. There is a hell. There is eternal torment for those who take the mark of the beast, for those who worship the Antichrist, for those who have rejected Jesus Christ. And it is with great wisdom and power that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, that's not what the Catholic Church teaches. Now, I want you to understand, there is a reason for this. There is also a reason why on page 222, it talks about the relationship of the Church with the Jewish people. And basically states, because the Jews believe in a Creator, they're worshiping the same God. This is why, you see, in 1986 at Assisi, the Catholic Pope met with the Dalai Lama, the Eastern Orthodox Church Patriarch, the Russian Orthodox Church Metropolitan or Patriarch, and with various Hindu gurus and Buddhist monks and others, and all prayed together. And the Pope taught that they all worship God under different names and under different rays from that great central sun. But it's simply a lie of the devil. And of course, since we are separated brethren, according to the Catholic Church, God's children simply scattered and led astray by sin, the sin, I suppose, of the Reformation, then all of the Protestants who now accept the Pope's authority yet still say they're not, quote-unquote, Catholic. And I'm talking about Colson and Robeson and Oliver North and Bill Bright and Robert Schiller and Jerry Falwell and Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts and Paul and Jan Crouch and so forth. These two, the Pope says now, are legitimately saved. Like the Muslims, like the Jews, like the Buddhists and like the Hindus. That is the meaning of the new catechism. But my friends, it is impossible, because in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So if the two walk together, for example, the Muslims and the Catholics, they may be agreed, my friends. They have to. They're walking together, but they're not agreed on Jesus Christ, and He is the one principle that means everything. Well, I'm at the end now of side one of this message, and please turn your tape over at this time, and we'll continue with the hidden messages and the Catholic Catechism. Friends, this is Tex Mars. We continue now with the part two of our hidden messages in the Catholic Catechism. The environment. What does the Catholic Catechism speak about the environment? Well, there's no doubt that there is wording here
which would make it a sin for a person to harm the environment. So the Catholic Step is pretty politically correct. They're right in touch with the environmental crazies of our day and era. On page 79, it says, quote, on many occasions the Church has had to defend the goodness of creation, including that of the physical world. On page 88, it says, each creature possesses its own particular goodness and perfection. Well, they're saying that the earth and the creatures therein are perfect and good. Well, of course, God did create the earth, my friends, and he said, in fact, the Bible says, and God saw that it was good. But then came the fall with Adam and Eve and their failure to obey God's word. And since that time, this earth, my friends, and human beings have been in a condition of depravity. Paul said we are groaning. Even the earth itself is groaning for the redemption. Our bodies now decay. God told the truth when he told Adam and Eve that now you will see death because you partook of the fruit that I told you not to eat from that tree. So you see, the earth is no longer good, but in a process of deterioration. And human beings are not born good or perfect, as the Catholic Church says they are. And this has led the Catholic Church and its catechism to sponsor the lies that are being promoted by the environmentalists. For example, on page 88, we read in the catechism, quote, by the very nature of creation, material being is endowed with its own stability, truth, and excellence, its own order and laws. My friends, this world certainly is marvelous in that it's a creation of God, but it is not perfect. It is not truth. And certainly there is not much stability. It is decaying. And that's why in the Bible, Peter tells us that someday there will be a new heaven and new earths. Even, my friends, a new Jerusalem. Keep that in mind. It says here on page 88, each of the various creatures reflect in its own way a ray of God's infinite wisdom and goodness. Man must therefore respect the particular goodness of every creature to avoid any disordered use of things which would be in contempt of the Creator and would bring disastrous consequences for human being and their environment. So you see, we are not to do those things which may harm the environment. Now, you know and I know that it certainly is pretty stupid for us to harm the environment. And God did put us in the garden to tend it in the first place, to be good stewards and to keep it. But that is far different than to believe that man and the earth have any kind of element of perfection, or that it is a sin to harm the environment. No, I simply, you know, can't believe that, because that's not biblical. Now, let's talk about yet another area, and that is of scriptures. And I think here's the real key that we need to look at. And this is the real era that causes all of the other eras to come up here in the catechism. And I think here is a hidden message, and yet it's very, it's out in the open what is really believed by the Catholic Church. On page 31, we read in the Catechism this fact, and I believe this is true. It says, God is the author of sacred scripture. Well, it says also that God inspired the human authors of the sacred books. It states the inspired books teach the truth. Now, all of those, I believe, are accurate. But wait, we're not finished. Item 108 on page 31 says this. Still, okay, now that's the words that the Catholic Catechism uses. After saying the Bible is inspired by God and so forth and teaches the truth, suddenly it says, quote, still, now we know we're going to have some reservations here, friends. Still, says the Catechism, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. Did you get that? Friends, those of you who, like me, believe only in the Bible, did you get that? Here we see for the last days a hidden message. Don't believe the Bible. Christianity, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. Oh my. It says Christianity is not a written and mute word, but incarnate and living. Well, friends, I know that Jesus Christ lives, but wait. We can believe everything the Bible says. And not, though, what man says, but listen to what the Catholic Church says in its catechism. It says, quote, if the Scriptures are not to remain a dead letter, Christ, the eternal Word of the living God, must, through the Holy Spirit, open our minds to understand the Scriptures. Well, okay, that may be true. How do we open our minds? Well, you will find on pages 32, 33, and 34, you open your minds by listening to what the priest and the Catholic Church tell you. Because item 113 of page 32 says that you must, quote, read the Scripture within the living tradition of the whole Church. It says sacred Scripture is written principally in the Church's heart, rather than in documents and records. For the Church carries in her tradition. Now, what does this mean? It simply means that you can't believe the Bible as it's written. Because the Bible really is tradition. It's not just found in a document or pages, a paper. Oh, no. The Bible really is the whole Catholic Church and all of its traditions. Man-made traditions, my friends. It says the Holy Spirit gives her, the Catholic Church, the spiritual interpretation of the Scripture. In other words, you can't just read it for yourself, because the Catholic Church has been given by the Holy Spirit this miraculous power to interpret the Scripture. This, even though, my friends, the Bible says clearly, Peter says, that the Bible came not through men. It's not of any private interpretation, but from God. It says that you must understand the Bible, now I'm reading from page 33 of the Catechism, according to the spiritual meaning which the Spirit grants to the Church. Now, friends, in other words, you read the Bible, and it says one thing, but you go to the Church, and they say, well, you don't have the right spiritual meaning, because the Holy Spirit has granted only to the Church. And who is the Church? Oh, well, it's priests, it's bishops. But who are they subservient to? That's right, the Pope, the Holy Father, His Holiness. The Pope of Rome. So only he is infallible. Only he who has the keys to understanding the sacred Scriptures. That's the lie of the Catholic Church. And yet the Bible says no man needs to teach you, but the Holy Spirit will instruct you in all things. That's what the Scriptures tell you. And that's far different than what this catechism tells you. The hidden message here of the Catholic Church and its catechism is, don't believe the Bible, believe the Pope and the hierarchy. Now, some other elements that I want to talk to you about, and we're about to run out of time here. We have some more minutes, but still I'm going to have to go fast. You will find on pages 557 and 577 and 578 that basically the Catholic Church teaches that it is a sin for people who have the economic means not to redistribute that to the poor. This is a socialist concept. Of course, Jesus Christ himself did tell us to help the poor, to help the widows, the orphans, even those who are in prison. But redistribution of wealth? No, I think the catechism goes way beyond what the Bible calls for. Then there is another area that I think is very, very strange. It has to do with homosexuality. It is politically correct, of course, today to say that homosexuals just can't help it. They're born that way. They have a genetic predisposition to this. They shouldn't be blamed. What does the Catholic Church say about it? Let me tell you what it says. Item 2358. It says, quote, "The number of men and women who have deep-seated homosexual tendencies is not negligible. They do not choose their homosexual condition." Let me read that again. The Catholic Catechism says, they, that is the homosexuals, do not choose their homosexual condition. Oh my. Now we get into this old nonsense that they just can't help it. They were born that way. That's what the Catholic Church teaches. Now all of the lesbian nuns and the pedophile priest, and there are many, believe me, are probably dancing in the gay bars today after having heard this kind of nonsense and drivel from the catechism. You know, Reverend Andrew Greeley, a Catholic sociologist, a Catholic priest himself, and I'm reading now from the Washington Post, Tuesday, November 1st, 1993, page A3, says this. He says there may be 2,000 to 4,000 pedophiles among the 51,000 priests in the United States, with as many as 100,000 victims of these pedophiles. Wow. Well, we know all about Priest Porter and all of the others who have been abusing these young kids, male and female, mostly male. I can also show you much, much evidence of lesbianism that is rampant among nuns, and they are proud of it today and are claiming that it is not a sin. Even Pat Robertson has fallen for this nonsense. For example, in the newspaper The Virginian Pilot and the Ledger Star, October 4th, 1994, Roman Catholic Bishop Walter Sullivan was invited to speak at Regent University. That's the 700 Club and the Christian Broadcasting Network of Pat Robertson. That's their university, Regent University, supported by money from people who watch the 700 Club. Well, recently he, according to the newspaper that I just quoted you, this Roman Catholic bishop was invited to speak to the students at Regent University. That's an abomination itself, but listen to what he says. Quote, "I firmly believe that a person is homosexual from birth. God made that person that way. If that person is gay or lesbian from birth," said Priest Sullivan, "how can that person be at fault? There is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with homosexual orientation. What is wrong is genital sex." Well, hey, come on. Is there a distinction there? Now, some so-called evangelical Christians, such as Tony Campolo, say, well, that homosexuals can live together and fondle each other and love each other, and as long as they don't go all the way and do the sex act. That's pretty sick. Now, I don't know that Campolo used the word fondle, but he says they can cuddle, I think is the exact term that he used. Live together, as in marriage. Cuddle with each other. How different Jesus' sayings. He said in Matthew 5, verse 28, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." My friends, we can't look at a woman or a man and conceive lust without it already being adultery. So how can two homosexuals live together and supposedly cuddle each other or fondle each other without doing the act? They've already committed adultery. And it is not a born condition. You know, my friends, I'm sick and tired of alcoholics saying, "I can't help myself. I have an alcoholic gene." Child molesters say, "Well, I have a hormonal problem." Mass murderers say, "Well, it's all psychological. I wasn't raised right. It's not my fault. I can't help it if I have uncontrollable sexual urges. I'm not guilty." Excuse, justification. My friends, the Bible says that God gives us a way out of sin. No man is tempted beyond what they can bear. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, pray, deliver us not into temptation, or lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, if we can't be delivered from evil, if we can't be kept from temptation, then why did Jesus tell us to pray that away? Now, I'm not saying we can be perfect, but to say that they can't help it, well, they can help it. So this catechism is saying homosexuals can't help it. Now, the catechism does not say that homosexuality, the act of doing it sexually in bed, is okay. It hem-haws around and says, well, you're not supposed to do it. That's wrong. But on the other hand, being a homosexual is okay as long as you don't carry out the act. And of course, then what is the act? Now, one of the things that's fatally missing from this catechism is the fact that homosexuality is a sin. No, there's no mention in here that homosexuality is a sin. And I want to say something about these supposed scientific studies that have found that the brains of homosexual and heterosexual men are different. Did you know that back in 91 and 92, a professor, Roger Gorski, professor of anatomy and cell biology at the medical school of the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, said that he studied dead bodies, I think 10. And 9 out of the 10 homosexual dead bodies, or the bodies of dead people that he studied, turned out to have brains, or size differences in the brain, in a certain area of the brain. In other words, if you're a homosexual, your brain is a little bit different, the brain structure. A part of the brain he called the anterior commissure, he said is 34% larger in homosexual males. In other words, what they're claiming here then, according to Dr. Gorski, is that homosexuals can't have it because they're just born different physically. Well, let me give you, so this is where a lot of this junk is coming from, Dr. Gorski's study at UCLA. Now, let me reveal something to you. First of all, they studied the bodies of men who had been afflicted with AIDS and died of AIDS. So these 10 men had died of AIDS. 9 of them had brains that had this part a little bit different in size than heterosexuals. Well, could it not have been the case, my friends? I'm a scientific man. Could it not have been the case that it was AIDS who deformed that part of the brain? The AIDS virus? The sickness? The illness? The disease? Sure it could have been. This guy, what kind of a scientific study? This is nonsense. Again, this is drivel. Idiocy. To study the bodies of homosexual men who have died of AIDS, and they say, wow, their brains are different. Yeah, there's a lot of things going to be different about their bodies because they've been ravaged by AIDS virus. And by the way, it has now come out, although it was not at the time, the media didn't report this. I saw this Dr. Gorski celebrated on television. You know, 60 Minutes, 2020, and all of them said, oh, this famous biologist and professor at UCLA has found this difference in the brains of homosexuals and heterosexuals. They forgot to tell us that Dr. Gorski himself is a homosexual. He was looking for differences, and he interpreted those differences in a way that would be favorable to the homosexual community. So it was just set up to help the gays. That's all it really is. And you're going to find other people who will say these kinds of things. Well, alcoholics have a gene. Genetically, they can't help it. Adulterers, child molesters, murderers. It's not true, my friends. We have to accept responsibility. Yes, it seems that Satan is able. There are certain weaknesses. One person may be susceptible to homosexual urges. Others to adultery. Another person may be gravitate to heavy metal, sinful music. Others in other relationships, maybe anger. Maybe some people have a problem in controlling their temper. Maybe some are cruel to their mate. I mean, there are many weaknesses of human nature. But again, I want to assure you, this is simply proof positive that we're not God, but that God always gives us a way out of sin. And that's what I wanted to tell you about. Now, one of the things I found interesting in this catechism is its strange wording when it talks about a political one-world system. You'll find that on page 585 of the catechism. And I'm convinced what we really have here is a call for a new world order under the leadership of the Pope. But the wording is very, very, let's just say, obscure. It says on page 585, item 2438, concerning, quote, justice and solidarity among nations. That's what the Pope says. We need solidarity. In other words, unity among nations. It says here, quote, on the international level, inequality of resources and economic capability is such that it creates a real gap between nations. Various causes of a religious, political, economic, and financial nature today give the social question a worldwide dimension. And then it says, quote, there must be solidarity among nations which are already politically interdependent. It is a question of dismantling the perverse mechanisms that impede the development of the less advanced countries. They've got to dismantle the perverse mechanisms. What does that mean? Oh, is it democracy? Is it nationalism? I think so. There must be substituted, it says, a common effort to mobilize resources toward objectives of moral, cultural, and economic development, redefining the priorities and hierarchies of values. In other words, my friends, when we're talking about religion, politics, economic things, and financial matters, there has to be a solidarity, all nations coming together as one, so that there will be a common effort to mobilize all of the resources of the world. Solidarity. Political interdependence. Well, that's the same thing the United Nations is calling for. The Illuminati, the Secret Brotherhood, Freemasonry. And this is what the Catechism calls for. Now, I want you to know that this is what the Pope also stresses in his book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope. And I think we're at a stage, my friends, when there's no doubt at all that everything is coming together as one. Let me go very quickly on this crossing the threshold of hope and just give you the flavor of what the Pope is saying here. First of all, he says, beginning on page 3, and I'm going to go very fast because of the limited time we have, that there is nothing wrong with calling the Pope the Holy Father, or His Holiness, or the Vicar of Christ. That's what they say. In fact, let me read to you. Quote, have no fear when people call me the Vicar of Christ. Now, this is the Pope's own words in the book Crossing the Threshold of Hope. Have no fear, says the Pope, when people call me the Vicar of Christ, when they say to me, Holy Father, or Your Holiness, or use titles similar to these, which seem even inimical, that means opposite, the gospel. Christ Himself declared, quote, call no one on earth your Father. You have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Messiah. These expressions, says the Pope, nevertheless have evolved out of a long tradition becoming part of common usage. One must not be afraid of these words either. Now, you say, well, Tex Mars, what is he saying there? Let me read on page 6 of the book. He says, Christ exhorts us to have no fear. He has both God and man in mind. He means, do not be afraid of God. Do not be afraid of God, but invoke Him with me. Do not be afraid to say, Father. Wow. Do not be afraid of God who becomes a man. Wow. Do you see what he's saying here, my friends? That he becomes God on earth in place of Christ. And so he says, he admits, the Pope admits that yes, it may seem opposite the gospel, but it's not, he says. Yes, he admits, Christ did declare, call no one on earth your father. But he says, it's okay to call me alone your father, your holy father, because I'm God on earth. He says, that's right, I'm your master on earth. I represent God. In other words, he's basically claiming that he is one with God. And that's why on page 9, he says expressions such as Supreme Pontiff, Your Holiness, and Holy Father simply mean that he's the authentic witness of Christ. He holds the keys of life and death as the Pope. And you've got to choose to believe this or not, he says. You see, this really is what the Pope means when he says, be not afraid. Now, when he was inaugurated, or you might say crowned, Pope, back in 81, he used that phrase, the Pope did, Pope John Paul II, be not afraid. Now, on the back, the very cover of this book, written by the Pope, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, this present Pope, on the back cover, there are only three words, and those are in the handwriting of the Pope himself. Be not afraid, and it ends with an exclamation mark to give it emphasis. Be not afraid. Be not afraid to call me the Vicar of Christ, says the Pope. Be not afraid to call me your Holy Father. God on earth. Be not afraid. Well, my friends, I am afraid. Because Jesus says, call no man father, and the Pope is simply a man. An unredeemed man. Why do I say that? Because he worships Mary. Because he believes that prayer to the saints is acceptable. And you can read about that on page 645, prayer to the saints, in his catechism. Mary is called the Mother of God on pages 642 and 643 and 644. But more than that, it is Mary who represents God for us. It is Mary who gives us her saving grace. She is the mediator. It is Mary who is the cause of our salvation, says the Pope. Now, I'll tell you what I believe, friends. I believe that the idols of Mary as found in the Catholic churches around this globe are the images to the beast. You can read about that in Revelation 13, the images to the beast. I think it's significant that in the Catholic magazine 30 Days, number 12, 1993, page 45, one of the top Catholic cardinals notes that in one of the Catholic Church's saints' diaries, he's called Father Malachy. He was the bishop, a bishop who died in 1148. He had certain prophecies. He said Pope John Paul II will be followed by a pope bearing the mark. The mark. How very interesting. The mark. Will it be the mark of the beast? Well, my friends, recently I received a letter from a Christian man who used to be Catholic. He said, Tex, keep in mind that in the Catholic churches you will not hear saying that great old hymn, that old rugged cross. No, there is Jesus on the crucifix. But he said, my Jesus is not on the crucifix anymore. He is alive forevermore. He says, I no longer worship Mary or pray to the saints, but only to that one living God. And my friends, there are hidden messages in the Catechism, a call for a new world order, the redistribution of wealth, and for the worship of Mary and the adoration of the Pope. But Jesus cried out, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The real question is not whether you believe in the Catholic Church or the Pope or Mary, but do you believe those saving words of Jesus Christ? This is Tex Mars. Write to me if you want to know more. 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or if you need additional copies of this tape. May God richly bless you and keep looking up, my friend. Jesus is coming again.